Before we begin tonight, we're just going to make one quick ha'ara from last night. And that is the following. We discussed at length the last couple of nights about Kiddush Levana when it comes to the month of Av, what is one supposed to do. So one of the things we mentioned is that the Achronim write that a person is supposed to eat first before he recites Kiddush Levana on Matzit Bab. So Rabbi Feiner was concerned if we're going to tell everyone to go home to eat and then say Kiddush Levana afterward, we're concerned people will forget. Also, you're going to lose out on the Beravam Hadras Melech. So he thought that we should overlook the Shita of the Achronim that one is supposed to eat first, and therefore he thought that the best thing to do is to say Kiddush Levana right after Shul on Matzei Tisha B'Av. Then we decided maybe a good idea, the correction we made yesterday was, good idea is maybe the shul will put out some food so that we could be mekayim all the shitas. Then my father-in-law correctly pointed out last night, which nobody thought of, that there's an issue because you need to hear Abdallah before you eat. So what are we going to do? We're going to make Abdallah and shul, and then maybe the shul will give out some nash or some cake or some drinks, and then we'll go outside and make Kiddush Levana. Problem is, then you can't be mekayim your wife can't be yotze with you on Abdallah when you go home. It's a big shiloh. So a person is supposed to be motzi his wife on Matzi Tisha B'Av, right? We know that women are not supposed to make their own havdalah, as on the same rule applies on a regular Matzi Shabbos. So that being the case, so we have a concern. If we're going to make havdalah and shul, and we're going to have in mind to be yotze, in order that we should be able to eat, in order that we should be able to say Kiddush Levana, then we're not going to be able to make havdalah when we get home for our wives. So therefore, the no, Bari Mari Ha'esh we make on Matzah Shabbos. Right. It's correct. But the minig is that the women don't. Okay, so basically, bottom line is what we're going to do is we're going to make Kiddush Levana Matzah Tisha B'Av, even though we're not offering refreshments in the shul. Fine. So that's the bottom line. Sure. So for those who want to be the big tzaddikim and come back an hour later, even better. But I assume most people are not going to be up to that. So therefore, what? It's a great idea. Problem is that if people have little children at home and they need to watch the kids, so it's not going to be so easy to get everyone back for Meir of Matzah Tisha B'Av. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about tonight. So what's with the Bari Mitzvah Summit? That's what we're up to. So we spoke last night about the Bari Mari Ha'esh, and the halacha is this year we're going to make a Bari Mari Ha'esh on Matzei Shabbos, which is Tisha B'Av night. However, the Bari Mitzvah Summit, we know the minig is not to make. So what is the reason why we don't make a Bari Mitzvah Summit? So it says, Beferish in halacha, the reason why is because it's too much tainug, it's too exciting for us, and on Tisha B'Av night we're not supposed to be so excited. So let's get into the Besamim issue. In Brachos Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us, Gimel Dvar Meshivin Daito Shel Adam. There are three things. If a person is depressed, or he's sad, or there's something bothering him, so there are three things he can do, which we know are chemically proven, like the Gemara says, we know that if you do these three things, it will calm you down. Number one, if he hears a good voice, call, he goes to a nice concert, classical music, so that will calm him down, or if he has Mara, if he goes and looks at beautiful things, or Reach, the Gemara says, if a person smells beautiful, so then he will be able to be Miyasher Daito. He'll be able to calm down, he won't be anxious anymore, he won't be sad anymore. So those are what the Gemara prescribes to make a person happy. So based on that, the Rishonim say, the Rashbam writes in Pesachim Daf Kuf Beis when it talks about Bisamim, as well as Tosfos in Beit HaDaf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, that a person on Matzah Shabbos, since he's sad that he's losing the Neshama Yisera that we get on Shabbos, so that's why we have the minhag to say a bracha of Bari Mita Bisamim on Matzah Shabbos. Beautiful insight that the Marashah makes in Shabbos Daf Pehei. The Gemara has an interesting line that Bishash, when Klal Yisrael was at Har Sinai, so it's the Gemara says, "Kol Dibur V'Dibur Sheyatzeh Mipiyah Kadosh Baruch Hu." Every single word that the Ribbono Shel Olam uttered himself at Maimon Har Sinai, Nismalei Kol HaOlam Kulo B'Samim. The whole world was filled up with B'Samim. So the regular Pashup Shat in the Gemara is that the whole world was so excited that the Ribbono Shel Olam came and spoke with Chvod V'Atzmo, so the whole world filled up with B'Samim. It was like a figure of speech to say that the whole world filled up with B'Samim. But says the Marashah, no. Why the whole world fill up with Besamim? Because Klal Yisrael had to get their neshamas back. They fainted, right? Klal Yisrael was so overwhelmed by the situation that they were encountering with the Ribbono Shel Olam speaking himself. So in order to get Klal Yisrael's neshamas back into them, so the Marashah writes, that's why Kolam Kulam Nismal Besamim. Every time the Ribbono Shel Olam uttered a word, the whole world had to fill up with Besamim in order to bring them back. So that's a beautiful insight that the Marashah writes. And that's really the reason why we have the summim on Matzah Shabbos, is to restore ourselves back to our regular state of being, even though we just lost a neshama yisera. So the famous question that's asked by Tosis and Beitza, by the Rashbam and Psachim, is that why is there no besamim on Matzah Yantiv, right? Famous question. We know we don't make a bar mitzvah besamim on Matzah Yantiv, so what is the story with that? So says Tosis and Beitza, because on Yantiv there's no neshama yisera. Only on Shabbos there's a neshama yisera, but Yantiv there is no neshama yisera, so therefore we don't make a bar mitzvah besamim on Matzah Yantiv. So everyone, Tosis frekta. Tosis frekta kasha, what about when you have Yantiv shechalias but Matzah Shabbos? So now I'm losing my neshama yisera from Shabbos, so why don't I make a bar mitzvah besamim? Good kasha. Tosis has the kasha. So Tosis says the answer to the kasha is that since on Yantif night I'm going to have fancy foods, I'm putting together a whole beautiful meal, and I'm having a lot of guests, and everyone's going to be happy, we're going to be singing and drinking wine, so that's going to be enough to calm me down from the losing of the neshama yisera. That's what Tosis says. So a person should be careful, Tosis says, that on Yantif shechalias b'matzah Shabbos, he actually enjoys very much the Sudas Yantif, and make sure that he's able to take care of himself and not have the problem of losing the neshama yisera and not smelling besam. So that's the shita of Tosis. So everyone asks, the whole reason why we say nishmas on Shabbos is because we assume that a person has neshama yisera on Shabbos. So we say nishmas kol chai to point out the uniqueness of Shabbos that we have neshama yisera. So the kash is, if Tosis says there's no neshama yisera on Yantiv, so why do we say nishmas on Yantiv? Now you're going to ask, where does this come from? Right? Is that what you're asking? How do you know that nishmas has to do with the neshama yisera? Answer is, because in Shulchan Aruch it says that on Hashanah Rabbah we don't say Nishmas. Sole reason is because there's no Neshama Yisera on Hashanah Rabbah. So you see from there, you only say Nishmas. Neshama Yisera equals Nishmas. If Tosis says there's no Neshama Yisera on Yantiv, so why do we ever say Nishmas on Yantiv? Good kasha. So that's what people ask. So this is all within the Shita of Tosis. Now, other Rishonim say not like him. The Rashbam is famous for saying Imsachim Daf Kuf Beis, and obviously there is a Neshama Yisera on Yantiv, just like there is on Shabbos. No. So how does the Rashbam answer the kasha? If you're going to say there's neshama yisera on Shabbos and neshama yisera on Yantiv, so why do we not make a bar mitzvah besamim on Matzah Yantiv? So that's the kasha that we're left with according to the Rashbam. So the answer is that the Ramban writes a beautiful line. The Ramban says, you're right, after Shabbos a person loses neshama yisera, after Yantiv his neshama yisera sticks. It doesn't leave him. Ramban doesn't really explain, right? Where does this come from? So the Shemi Shmuel has a beautiful vart. Shemi Shmuel is the son of the Abnei Nezer. Says the Shemi Shmuel, b'shem his father, he says, my father once told me a beautiful pshat. And he says, the idea is the following. He says that a kedusha that a person has to work on his own in order to create is something that's going to be everlasting. But a kedusha that comes on its own, a kedusha that just happens automatically, so easy come, easy go. Same way it came to me is the same way it's going to leave. Therefore, says the Abnei Nezer, quoting the Shemi Shmuel, a person who goes and experiences a Shabbos. So Shabbos we know is Kaviyah V'Kaima. Whether you like it or not, Shabbos is going to come around every seventh day. It doesn't make a difference. However, when it comes to Yantiv, since we know that we need Bezdin to be Mekadosh the Yantiv, and we know that without the Bezdin, there's a famous Ritva in Chulin Daf Kof Aleph that the Ritva says, if Bezdin for some reason wasn't Mekadosh the Chodesh, Yantiv wouldn't happen. We'd go through the whole month without Yantiv, even though it's supposed to be Pesach this month, or it's supposed to be Sukkot, but if Bezdin forgot to be Mekadosh the Chodesh, too bad. There's no Yantiv. So therefore, says the Abnei Nezer, the amount that a person has to put into it, the amount that a person has to work on bringing the Kedusha into the world, since Bezdin is an integral part of the entire process of Yantiv and of the Kedushas Yantiv, so therefore, not so easy come, therefore it's not so easy go. That's what the Ramban answers, that's the way the Abnei Nezer explains the Ramban, of why there's no Ibud HaNeshama on Matzah Yantiv. Based on this, many Mepharshim want to explain that that's why we say V'Hasiyenu on Yantiv. We say V'Hasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu Hasbirchas Ma'adecha. What are we asking for? We ask that you should load us up with what? Why don't we ever say that on Shabbos? Right? Shabbos, we just say, Ritzev b'nechaseinu, we should be happy, we should be calm, everything should be wonderful. But Yantiv, we say, v'hasiyenu, load us up. Answer is, v'hasiyenu, we want the Ribbono Shalom should load us up and it should stick with us. So we're asking him that since the Birchas Ma'adecha are something that are not going to leave us, so we want to get the best out of the whole experience in order that it's something that will stay with us for a long time. So that's the way they explain. The Abnei Nezer explains the Yishuv on the Rashbam, why, even if you believe that there's a Neshama Yisera on Yantiv, why is it that we do not smell Besamim on Matzeh Yantiv? I did see a beautiful insight in the Noam Elimelech writes something interesting as well. I mean, we find that nothing good comes without working hard for it, right? The Mefarshim point out that Kedushas Ha'aretz only came because David HaMelech was Mekadosh Yerushalayim, and because Yeshua Ben Nun was Mekadosh Yosef Aretz, and Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadosh Beis HaMikdash, but without their involvement, without Klal Yisrael being very involved and being very careful about all the details about making something Kaddish, that never would happen. Obviously, if a person doesn't work hard on something, it will never happen. This is also written... What was that? Kiyum?
A bigger Kiyum.
Right, exactly. It's something that's going to stick with him for longer. So it's interesting that the Noam Elimelech has a quick vart in the beginning of Parshas Chukas. He says, obviously, Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, and many others, that the whole Kedusha as Klal Yisrael emanates from the Torah, right? That's the whole Makar HaKedusha, is the more Torah we learn, the more Kaddish we're going to be. So he says, that's what it means, Zoyz Chukas HaTorah. The only way that Klal Yisrael is going to have the Kedusha is if Chakuk HaLuach Livecha, is only if a person works hard, and he's Amal V'Yagei on it, that it's like, it's something that's Milashon Chakika, it's something that he's really working hard to put and make a very serious mark on his own neshama, on his own life. So that's what the Noam Elimelech writes, that obviously we know that things in this world never come. Kedusha in this world is never created unless a person is willing and ready to work very hard at making that happen. So the question begs itself, which I saw Reb Shimshon Pinkus asks in his beautiful sefer called Shabbos Malchusa. I don't know how many people have saw it, but it's a fantastic sefer that he wrote himself. It wasn't many svarim that they're putting out now are just from tapes that people wrote over, but he himself wrote the Shabbos Malchusa. It's a beautiful sefer. So he asks in the Shabbos Malchusa, Chelek Gimel, he wants to know, that why is it we find in Kol HaTorah Kula, we find by all other mitzvahs, that a person has to work hard in order for himself to maximize the potential from the Kedusha that's going to come out of this mitzvah. So why is it that by Shabbos is the one example where it's Kviyah V'Kaima? It comes on its own. It's easy come, and there's nothing that we need to put into the Shabbos. There's nothing that needs our involvement. The Shabbos will come whether we like it or not. So why is Shabbos the exception to this rule? So he writes the following beautiful insight. He says that, let's say when it comes to Sukkot, so the Torah mandates us that we're supposed to have some sort of feeling of Simcha. No. So if I ask you, how are you supposed to feel Simcha? I don't know, not so easy. So the Torah tells us. I'll tell you how to feel Simcha. You know how? Take a lulav and an esrog, and by doing all these things, and saying halal every day, and going and sitting in the Sukkah, that's the way somehow you'll get to the hasagas of Simcha that the Torah expects you to feel. Or, he writes, if a person is supposed to feel Cheiros on Pesach, no, so go tell me, figure it out. How are you supposed to feel Cheiros on Pesach? I don't think it's so easy. Very difficult mitzvah. Chaim said this is the most difficult mitzvah in the whole world. Are you supposed to figure out how to put yourself in a situation where you feel like you're being a ben chorin? Not so easy. So the Torah prescribes a way for us to feel that way. The Torah tells us if you eat matzah, if you eat mar, if you sip the haseba, and you do X, Y, and Z, then that is the way you're going to bring yourself to get to that level of Cheiros that you're supposed to be feeling. However, says Reb Shimshon Pinkus, Shabbos is not that way. Shabbos is not like there's a certain koyach that's put into the world and we're supposed to build ourselves up to get to it. Shabbos is the Ribbono Shel Olam himself comes into the world. Shabbos is the Kedusha Atzma. Shabbos is the Etzma Kedusha itself. You don't need to work on yourself so much to get to that level, because as hard, he explains it, that as hard as a person, as many mediums as he might take, as many steps as he might take to get himself to a higher and a higher level, he'll never be high enough to actually be deserving of seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. He'll never be on a high enough level to be touching, to be feeling, to be living with the Kedusha itself, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So therefore, says Reb Shimshon Pinkus, that's why Shabbos, it's easy come, easy go. Shabbos is Kviyah V'Kaima. Shabbos is where it is because Klal Yisrael, as hard as they might work on it, will never ever get to that Madrega where they'll be ready to be Mekabel the Shabbos the way it is. The Ribbono Shel Olam comes and give it to us b'matana, like the Gemara tells us that Matana achas yeshli bebeis genazi v'shabbos shma. The Ribbono Shel Olam came one time and told us that he has a matana that's waiting for us, and he gave us Shabbos. So that's where Shimshon Pinkus writes. It's a beautiful idea that he says that if you think about it, the only mitzvah that we're asked to do on Shabbos is zachar es yom haShabbos l'kadosh. He says the one thing the Ribbono Shel Olam asks us is just remember that I'm here. All I'm asking you for, you don't have to do anything else. All I'm asking you for is to remember that I'm here. Remember that I came into the world. Remember that I came to give you a matana. Remember that I'm here residing in your house over Shabbos. And that's what he says, that the reason for that being that the whole thing is a matana tova, and we know by a matana, the Gemara says, if a mekabel matana is not willing to be mekabel it, right, if I don't want to accept the gift, then it's not going to come to me. So he says, that's all the Ribbono Shel Olam asks us for on Shabbos, is just accept my gift of the fact that I came into this world, and I'm here for you to enjoy. So along the similar lines, Shimshon Pinkus writes that, he points out that the Rambam writes in his Sodei HaTorah a very interesting thing. The Rambam says that a Navi, in order for a Navi to get to the level of Nevuah, so he writes that he has to have Taras HaMachshavas, he has to have Taras HaMidas, everything has to be perfect and unbelievably on an unbelievable high level. He has to perfect himself to such an extent, which the Rambam says is a person has to have his mind rule over his emotions. He has to have everything is amazing. So the obvious question is, what's with Bilam? Bilam, we know, was a big Navi. Bilam was one of the greatest Nevi'im, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara tells us. So how could it be? There's no way Bilam was such a tzaddik, like the Rambam points out. You have to have all these wonderful things in order to be worthy of getting Nevuah. So how could it be that Bilam, who was such a Rasha Gamer, how could it be that Bilam was a person who was able to get to such levels of Nevuah? That's the kasha that he asks on the Rambam. So the answer that he gives is along the same lines. He says that you're right. By a regular Navi who doesn't see Bas Baklaya Me'ira, so what happens? He works on himself, he works a little more, gets a little higher, a little more Kaddish, a little more Chashuv, and finally the top Madrega of working on yourself so much is that the Ribbono Shel Olam will give you Nevuah. Fine, that's a process that makes sense. But Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu were the two personalities that saw Bas Baklaya Me'ira. They were able to see the Ribbono Shel Olam Bechvodo Ba'atzmo without anything in between, without any blockage, without having any problem understanding everything that was going on in Shamayim. So in such a Nevuah, as much as a human being might work on himself during his lifetime, as much as he may want to get to that level, he will never, ever be able to get that on his own. That's not something you could work toward. That's not something that is ever possible for a person to reach. That's something that either the Ribbono Shel Olam chose to give you, b'matana, or it's something that you'll never have. So that's the way the Reb Shimshon Pinkus explains. He says, you're right, the Rambam says that in order for a regular person to have a regular type of Nevuah, he has to work on himself and go through all the steps, and then the last step is, he'll be granted with Nevuah. But when it comes to Asparklai Meir, when it comes to getting this tremendous level of Nevuah, which is above and beyond, it's the Kedusha Atzma, just like Shabbos, it's when the Ribbono Shel Olam comes into the world, it's when the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to you, B'marah HaNevuah, and there's no intermediaries, there's nothing in between. So in such a case, he says, since that's all B'matana, therefore it doesn't have anything to do with a person working on himself. It's something that either the Ribbono Shel Olam chooses to give you, or he chooses not to give you. So, this is pretty much all just a background into this Avnei Nezer, that the Avnei Nezer points out that this is the reason why when it comes to Havdalah, Matzi, Yantif, there's no reason to say Bar Amina B'Samin, because when it comes to Yantif, we do not lose the Kedusha that we ourselves infused in our own Yantif, in our own bodies, in our own Neshamas, because that's something that we worked hard to get, and if it's something we work hard to get, it's not something that we're going to lose. You know, there were a lot of people talking this morning about the Siyam HaShas from the Chevesh Shas here, and someone was saying, like, yeah, it's really nice, whatever. I was thinking afterward, one of them was speaking afterward about the fact that when you think about it, it's not just, oh, very nice, people are making a Siyam HaShas. Do you realize how difficult it is to actually make that commitment? It's only through Amal V'Yageya. It's only through someone who's really committed, who's really interested in following through with his idea. And it's not something that the Kedusha just comes on its own. It's not something like we just have people finishing Shas and it happens on its own. It's something that people work very, very hard to do. And only through that are they able to elevate themselves and actually accomplish what they plan to accomplish. And we are assured over here that in any situation where a person works hard and makes sure to elevate himself to that level which is above and beyond his means, and above and beyond something that he ever expected of himself, that's a Kedusha that will never, ever leave him. Just like the Neshama Yisrael of Yantif is something that will never, ever leave him. So just to recap, the plan is that Matzi Shabbos, we're going to make Bari Ma'ari Ha'esh in Shul on a candle, not on the lights, because the lights are fluorescent in the Shul. And on Matzi Tisha B'Av, we're going to make Kiddush Levana after davening here, and we're not going to have food in the Shul. And one last thing, that if anyone knows that they are going to have to eat on Tisha B'Av, or has a wife that's going to have to eat, so that's a whole question in and of itself, exactly what should be done with Havdalah, because we know a person's not really allowed to eat without Havdalah. So that should be asked on a personal basis. Not such a simple question, what a person exactly should use if they have to make Havdalah on Tisha B'Av, and should a wife make Havdalah for herself. Rabbi Feiner said he thought, like the Achronim say, big machlekes, but Rabbi Feiner felt that a person should make on Chamar Medina for his wife. He thought the most optimal thing to use is coffee, because many other things are questionable. So coffee, Rav Moshe writes, is Chamar Medina, so we can rely on that. And who's going to drink it? Good question. Maybe your wife. But it should be discussed. If someone knows that they need to have that shayla, that should be thought about with a little more careful thought. Have a wonderful evening.